So, my dear brothers and sisters, we continue, and we're coming towards the end of this series of homilies on the Eucharist. And I hope that this has been a time for us to regain an appreciation for the Eucharist. In today's Gospel, we see that the Jews have elevated the way of being. They started at murmuring about what Jesus was saying, and this week they've moved to outright quarreling with each other. And you may say, well, Father, why is that? Why does that matter? Well, because to the Jewish ear of the time of Jesus, what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is suggesting is that they become cannibals, that they eat his, eat his flesh. And that was strictly against Jewish law, to eat another human being. Cannibalism is strictly against Jewish law. And so, they go from murmuring to quarreling, and they're really saying Jesus can't be serious about what he's saying. He can't really be suggesting that we enter into cannibalism. But if you go back to the Greek, words that the gospel writer used, the Greek is very specific. And so, and we don't even really translate it well, because we don't have we have a word for it, but we don't have a literary word for it, because the literal translation of the Greek that Jesus uses, the word that was used, the literal translation is to gnaw on. So Jesus, when he says eat, he's saying, gnaw on me, consume me. Jesus is very serious. Last week, he used the word eat. The Greek translates to eat. This week, they use a different Greek word, and every word that is written in Scripture is written with a purpose, inspired by the Holy Spirit and written with a purpose. And what Jesus was trying to transmit here was that the Eucharist is the true food for you to eat, for you to gnaw on. I know that word gnaw is hard for us to hear, because we think of gnaw and you think of, don't be gross, Father. Don't be gross. But what Jesus is trying to seriously get across to us is our true life comes from eating Christ. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, again, this is a scripture which I think as Catholics, we have allowed, in a lot of cases, our Protestant brothers and sisters to make us very bashful of John 6. Now, I remember growing up, I grew up in a mixed bowl of a lot of faiths. Growing up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, you had Catholics, of course. You had the Italian Catholics and the Irish Catholics and the Polish Catholics. You had the Catholics, but then we had a lot of Southern Baptists and a lot of Methodists and a lot of Presbyterians. You know, on the East Coast, you get a bit of everything. So as I was growing up, I remember a lot of the discussions of the adults being around this chapter, and I always thought, well, what's the big deal? Well, of course, I was a kid back then, but and so I've had time to figure out what the big deal is. But Because the heart of our belief in the Eucharist comes from John 6, where Jesus physically says, "Gnaw on me." Why? Because then Jesus continues and he says, what is the result of those who gnaw on me, who eat me? He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Now, you all know my kick, and I won't get on the big kick about remain. That's bad translation. Bad, bad, bad. Abide. Abide. So the right translation is, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. You see, words matter. That's why I get on these kicks about translation, because word matters. And if we translate the Greek language badly, we lose a lot of the meaning. So, my dear brothers and sisters, to gnaw on Christ is to abide in Christ. I should make a banner on that. Put that in the front of church. Ooh, that would be a good idea. To gnaw on Christ is to abide in Christ. And Christ to abide in us. That is the heart of the Eucharist. You know, this last week, unfortunately, we lost a parishioner who was 42 years old with three very young children. Very, very sad situation to cancer. But one of the most important things to him in this last week of his life was that he was able to receive the Eucharist at the end of his life, like a day and a half, a day before he died. That was what he wanted, to receive the bread of life. My dear brothers and sisters, it is so easy to take the things we have in our faith for granted. It's very easy to let the world define what we believe and don't believe about the Eucharist. But my dear brothers and sisters, I tell you, all of that is nothing but noise and the evil one trying to distract us from the truth. That when we come up here, when we come here Sunday after Sunday, we have an opportunity to eat Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ to truly become part of us. And I really invite us to take that seriously. To not take this gift of the Eucharist for granted. Next week we're going to be speaking a lot more about that, because if the Eucharist is this important, if this is about eating Christ and abiding in Christ, then my dear brothers and sisters, the way we receive the Eucharist, the way we celebrate Mass, the way we physically come to receive the Eucharist every Sunday. Is the way we are prepared spiritually is very essential. Everything we do outwardly is a sign of what's happening inwardly. Anyway, that's a discussion for next week. But I'm setting us up because it is that important. You know, as I was preparing this homily doing multiple things this week, I was inspired to once again look, you know, yet last week I asked you to pray with the Anima Christi for a whole week. And this week I want to send you home praying another prayer or praying with another prayer. And this this prayer is a prayer that you're going to find on Google. So, and it's the prayer that St. Thomas Aquinas wrote in like the 14th or 15th century. And it's a prayer he wrote inspired by the Holy Spirit as a way to prepare for Mass. And it's a prayer that we as clergy pray before we celebrate every Mass. And really, it's not just for priests. It's a prayer that we should pray before we come to every Mass. So you can Google this. It's not in any of the books in front of you, but it's the St. Thomas Aquinas prayer before Mass. Okay, so when you go home, Google St. Thomas Aquinas prayer before Mass. Here is the prayer. It says, Almighty and ever-living God. It's a little long, but listen to it. I draw near to the sacrament of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I come sick to the physician of life, unclean to the fountain of mercy, blind to the light of eternal brightness, poor and needy to the Lord of heaven and earth. First, before we come to Mass, Thomas Aquinas is inviting us to recognize our situation of poverty in front of the Lord. That we come with our sins, we come with our illnesses, we come with everything we are, he says. Prayer continues. So I ask you, most generous Lord, graciously heal my infirmity, wash me clean, illumine my blindness, enrich my poverty, and clothe my nakedness. I don't know if when we come to Mass, we truly believe this, but every Mass can heal our infirmities. Not just our physical infirmities, but our spiritual infirmities. And why did Aquinas pray this prayer before write this prayer? Because he wanted us to recognize who we are in front of this great mystery and to ask to be healed. Then Aquinas goes on, may I receive the bread of angels, he's speaking about the Eucharist, the King of kings and Lord of lords, with such reverence and humility, such contrition and devotion, such purity and faith, such resolve and determination, as may secure my soul's salvation. We're going to focus on that next week because that unpacks a lot. That shows you seriously how serious Aquinas took the receiving of the Eucharist. It says, grant as I may receive not only the visible sign of the Lord's body and blood, that is, grant that I may not only receive the bread and the wine, but also the reality and the power of the sacrament, that bread and wine has truly become the body and blood of Christ so that he may receive it. Grant, most kind God, that I may receive the body of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, which he received from the Virgin Mary, and may receive it in such a way that I become a loving part of his mystical body and counted among his members. Aquinas is saying, may Christ abide in me, and may Christ abiding in me help me to abide in the body of Christ, which is you, which is those who receive. O most loving Father, grant me your beloved Son, while on this earthly pilgrimage, because we are on a pilgrimage to eternal life and we shouldn't forget that, I receive him under the veil of this sacrament. Why? So I may come at last to see him face to face for all eternity. In other words, this is what this man who died of cancer wanted to receive. The last thing he ate was the body of Christ. So that because the Eucharist is what prepares us for heaven. It says, for he lives and reigns with you forever and ever. Amen. You know, when I read this prayer, I think of that saying, you know, put this in your pipe and smoke it too. Well, put this in your pipe and smoke it. So we're gonna put it in your pipe and you're gonna smoke it this week. 15 minutes a day for the next 7 days. I want you to go home and smoke the smoke. No, don't, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. So 15 minutes a day this week, praying with this prayer of St. Thomas Aquinas. This is a wonderful prayer to help us also prepare for the last week of Eucharistic homilies, which will take place next week. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we come truly today before the Lord with our sickness and with our poverties, with our sins, and we have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ in his body and blood, soul and divinity, so that Christ can become truly part of us. And so let us not lose sight of that great gift that is the Eucharist.